podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, BuildTheScene.com, my own station, I forgot, RootoRadio.com from the west coast of the U.S., XRP.co.uk, taking us to Northern United Kingdom, AltRockRadio.ca, which isn't that far from these guys, in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. And with me tonight on episode number 520 is Walkers K, and Gary and Michael are hanging out with us. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, Bill, thanks for having us. You know, I'm very, very impressed that you remember all those promotions at the beginning without writing them down. I see you just memorizing them. That's great.
Usually it's mine that I forget, and I don't usually put it in the middle. So tonight was weird.
Wow. Very cool.
So I have probably my most cliche question that I open the show up with every time. And as I told you off the air, then we go to questions that you don't normally hear in an interview.
Sure.
So the question is, how did Walkers K get its name? And I read it in your bio, but I'm going to let you tell the story.
Well, Mike, we'll tell that one again. what it is Walkers K is an island in the Bahamas. It's the northernmost out island away from the main islands of Bahamas. And I flew in there around 1997. I'm a private pilot, and I took a couple of friends with me. And I spent about 7 days there, and I was so inspired. I wrote a lot of music. I was inspired by the environment, the island itself. And I said, you know, if I ever start another project, then I believe I'm going to use this as a name. So Walkers K was born as a band.
Very cool. I've never been to the Bahamas, but I bet it's beautiful there.
It's gorgeous.
What has been your most memorable moment on stage?
Well, mine personally is anytime you have a technical or equipment failure, and there's been several, you don't worry much about playing or performing, or for me, being a lead vocalist, singing. I worry about technical things. I always have. So when something doesn't work, you go to hit a chord on your guitar, you try to stomp a pedal, and something doesn't work or doesn't go off or doesn't turn on. Those are memorable events, and there's so many of them, I just can't mention them all. That's for me anyways.
Yeah, for me, I think that what I can remember quite clearly is was performing one night, and all of a sudden a fight broke out in front of the stage, and we were watching the fight and playing the guitar or playing our song at the same time. We didn't know to continue with the song or stop and, you know, try to
join in.
Well, that was my thing I can remember, and I'll never forget that for you know, rest of my life.
All right, so now we're going to go on to my oddball questions for a little while. You're going to go out on an international tour. What two bands would you take with you?
Well, first of all, I hope they would take us with them, but I would want to go with Def Leppard or Styx.
I have not seen Styx live, but I've seen Def Leppard twice. Excellent. And they were so good that I forgave Joe Elliott for calling us Cleveland.
Ah, yeah. I've done that.
Wow. Wrong. I think for me, Boston would be the one that would stick in my mind. And I have to agree with Gary with Def Leppard. I think that'd be an awesome band to be on tour with, too.
I saw Def Leppard the first time. Well, I don't remember who I saw him with. Second time I saw him with Poison.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a very, very good night.
For sure.
During that tour, I tag along with you guys. What is our soundtrack going to be in between stops? So what music are we going to listen to while we're traveling?
Well, for me, again, believe it or not, I listen to a lot of classical music when in my car and everything. Very rarely do I listen to pop or rock or any other genre. However, I would listen to, again, those bands, Styx. I like Heart. Def Leppard. I like some prog bands. I like Rush. I like Triumph. Those are the kind of bands that I would listen to if I was listening to pop rock bands.
Yeah, for me, I'd probably be more into the older Ozzy, the old Genesis back from the 70s. I think it would be something I'd love to hear. And I'm trying to think some of the 80s bands I really like too. Like I don't know if you guys remember a band called Brighton Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I do not.
they're a great band. And me, some of the older April Wine. That really kind of sticks with me pretty good.
So recently I've been, my favorite podcast that I listen to is a show called the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, which is out of Canonsburg, Pennsylvania, which isn't too far from here. And he records his shows usually on Monday or Tuesday. So mm-hmm. I've been stealing his topic and using it as questions and giving him credit. So that's where we're going to head now.
Very cool. So
their topic yesterday was bands that have great harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick a band that you think does the harmonies the best, or maybe a couple bands, who would you mention?
Well, again, if you're talking, there's two ways to do harmonies, in the studio and live. Anything can be done in the studio with one person, 10 people, and technology. Live, it's a little bit tougher. So live, I'd have to say Styx, Heart. I would have to say Aerosmith, and bands like that. And Journey would be a number one, because live, seeing all those bands live, they really do harmonies quite well. Unlike a lot of bands, just do harmonies well in the studio.
Yeah, and I think for me, I think one band really sticks out really, really phenomenal is the Eagles. They got some phenomenal harmonies.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just amazing.
Absolutely. And,
I can't think of a band that might be, I'm sure there's better bands than that, but that's the one really sticks in my mind.
A little younger than you guys. So
a little.
Wow, I agree. Well, I'll be 44 this year.
Okay.
Wow. Wish I was 40.
I'll be 20 years older than you.
Yeah.
Enjoying while it lasts.
Oh, listen, I'm feeling it already.
Yeah, I know.
But bands that came to my mind were like, first of all, a lot of local bands, because I deal with local unsigned bands all the time.
Sure.
But the one that really stuck in my head is Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah, for
Lane
sure.
Lane Staley and Jerry Cantrell. So I had I know what question I wanted to ask you. This one kind of really fits what we're going through right now too. If there's a catastrophic event that takes place and most of the people on Earth are wiped out and there's just a handful of people left, mm-hmm. and one song from every band survives, which one of your songs should survive and why?
My opinion would be one of our newest songs, Why Oh Why. And that question is simply, why oh why did this happen?
So fits.
It so fits. And that's the reason why it was written, as the situations and problems in the world today. You know, there's a lot of, if you watch the lyric video, it's a very, very hard hitting, impacting video where people are looking up in the sky and they're asking why oh why to their God or to God or to something that they believe in. So I think that would be the song that would fit.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Gary with that one too. Why definitely be my number one pick.
Let me scroll down. I prepared some questions, which I usually don't do.
Well, you can ask us anything. We have recipes. I mean, what's your favorite dog? You know, it doesn't matter to us. We, you know.
What's something that your fans would be surprised to learn about you individually?
Well, for me, I think they would probably, they don't know that I own a radio station, so they might be shocked at that, but also a pilot. And also, I was a firefighter, EMT, in New York State. They might not know about that. Those are probably some of the things that they might be surprised. Also, I love gardening. Believe it or not, I love going out and just cutting my grass and trimming it and everything. I like that. So that's, you know, and I like to eat, you know. So that's about it for me.
Licorice and Coke. Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola is, I'm addicted to it, and it's a terrible thing to be. You know, the carbonated sugar content in it and everything, but it's a fabulous drink. So if you're listening, Coca-Cola, we would like your sponsorship. And I love Twizzlers, and Mike does as well. Twizzler,
oh, I do,
yeah, licorice. We love that. But what about you, Mike?
I think for me, I think people would be shocked, as I used to work in the nuclear industry for a long time, and I guess I have a huge interest for that. And also, I like cooking too. I like making bread.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah, and Gary just loves what I make. You know, I smoke my own ribs. I'm a barbecue guy. I like doing that kind of stuff.
You know, sometimes my wife, she's a gourmet cook. She's an excellent cook, and she makes beautiful food. And a lot of times, you know, she's cooking and everything, and I eat plenty of food, you know, from her. And then if I go to Mike's house for a session, because he has a studio, beautiful studio in his home, he says, "Hey, man, I just made some bread," or "Hey, I just did these ribs," or "I did these, smoked this chicken. What do you think?" And it's always like, "Break out, man, and I hope you have some Cokes to go with it." We sit there and I double, triple eat.
I usually stock up before you come over.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
This question will probably spur a memory for you guys. If I were to play a Walker Case song backwards, what would I hear?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, if you played YOY backwards, you'd hear YOY.
That's true.
You know, true. Probably, that's a hard question, because if we're looking at it tongue-in-cheek, I don't know, but if you're looking at it in seriousness, and some people have done that, yeah. I think whatever they would hear, it would be semi-positive, because most of our songs tell a story, but they're not real, real negative in a way where it would get you depressed. So I think whatever it would be something happier.
Did it spring D. Snyder into your head when I asked it?
Maybe, you know, we're not going to take it. Maybe, I don't know, you know, but perhaps. Yeah. You know, that's a great experiment. I'll have to get Mike on that.
Yeah, I can work on that actually later tonight.
Just, you know, play something backwards and see. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Can you give me a story about your song, Tell Me?
Well, Tell Me is a song that is basically a song about a relationship. And the gentleman in that relationship is saying to his girlfriend, he notices that she's colder towards him, not as responsive, not as loving. And he asks her, "What's going on? Do you not have feelings for me anymore? Do you want out of this relationship?" And what happens is she keeps telling him, "No, everything's cool. Everything's great." And then he finds out the truth that she really does not love him anymore and wants out, but she really didn't know how to tell him. So it's kind of a story. And what happens is he finds out then she wants to leave, and she finally tells him, "I'm out of here. I want out of here." And that's happened to a lot of people, millions of people over time, in a relationship, and someone, the man or the woman, they don't know how to get out of it. And that's basically what that song was written about.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment and listen to the song Tell Me by Walkers K. We're going to throw in another song at that point too. I got a new Steve Hawk song today. Maybe we'll listen to that song.
You're not fine. when you turn around and you walk away? Is it something you got new, 'cause you know that you can't stay? Tell me where you wanna go when I see you leaving, then I will know. Whoa, whoa. When you turn around and you walk away, is it something you can't do, 'cause you know that you can't stay? Tell me where you wanna go when I see you leaving, then I will know. Tell me what you're gonna say when you leave me now, my baby. Tell me what you're gonna do when you slip away. You tell me that you'd always be true. Tell me all the lies you, so I won't believe you so bad. Tell me all the things you say to blow my mind when you slip, slip away. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Times when you could see the blame in me, but you're
Hey, we're back. You heard from Steve Hawk and Walkers K. Gary and Michael are here from the band with me tonight. If you weren't here earlier, we talked about bands with harmony. We talked about different songs, playing songs backwards, things that their fans would be surprised about, and much more. You're going to have to go back and listen if you missed it. Here, we're going to find out a little bit more about your influences without me just saying who are your influences. If you can pick one album that you absolutely love, that, you know, the album that you can listen to from track one to the final track and forget everything about it so that you can hear it again for the very first time and have that euphoria of how awesome it was, what album would you do that with?
I think for me, it would be Boston's album, their first album. I think it came out in 75. I was in, just got out of high school, just getting out of high school or thereabouts. And I remember hearing that album and the guitar work and the vocals, and then doing research on that album that Tom Scholz in that band, he did all those recordings in his basement. He used vintage analog equipment. He doesn't believe in computers, processors, anything like that. And he went on to do the next two albums that, as you probably know, went multi-platinum the same way, still using gear from the 70s. And look at the sound he got. So I would absolutely say Boston's album, the album initially where More Than a Feeling was on, that album there.
Yeah, I think for me, what sticks in my mind is it's got to be a toss-up between two albums, either AC/DC, Highway to Hell, or Hell's Bells, Back in Black.
Well, the song is Hell. There is a song Hell's Bells, right?
Yeah, and I think it's actually Back in Black is the name of the album, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Back in Black,
my number one. Yeah,
yeah. Back in Black is the first one without Bon Scott, correct?
That's right. With Brian Johnson was the singer on it, and that just sticks in my mind. Every tune, I love them all. And when I first started playing guitar, I mean, that was what I was learning is, AC/DC. So just love the chording, the way, the energy of the tunes. It's great stuff.
I once heard someone bashing them because, like, it's all three chords. And I was like, but it's three chords of awesomeness.
It is. Yes, you're right.
Well, you know, there's a lot of songs. I write a lot of songs that are three or four chords. You know, that's the formula. But there's a lot of, like, even if they're one-hit wonders, you know, I mean, look at the Knack, you know, My Sharona, two chords, you know, back and forth. There are songs that have, you know, just a two chord form structure. And it all comes down to that melody line, man.
Yeah.
What you're singing with those two chords. That's what makes that song.
So since we're talking a little bit about the breaking down the music and not the structure of music, where do you guys get your inspiration? Like, is it something in life, or is it just, does it just come to your head? Like, where does your music actually come from? Not influence wise, just, you know, how do you create it?
Well, for me personally, for life. That would be the one word, simple answer, life. I see things, hear things, think about things, and I either come up with a vocal line first or lyric first. Doesn't matter. I can do it either way. I can have lyrics in front of me and write music, or I can have music in front of me and write lyrics. But it's life, life in general. Very simple formula.
Yeah, that's good. Good point, Gary. I think for me, I think it's sometimes I'll have a dream and I hear a melody in my head. And sometimes I'll, if I can remember it the next day, I'll try to recreate it on the guitar. Or sometimes me and Gary will work together, and actually we feed on each other's energy, and we can produce something that sounds great. So I think that's how how I do it.
There's no, you know, actually, Bill, there's no per se magic formula to writing a song, and anyone can do it. And it's basically something that you feel from your heart that you would want to put out there as an art, you know, and as media, and you just do it, you write it.
What can you tell me? We're going back in history here now. Music, writing your music.
I've been there for a lot of history.
Actually, that just, I'm going to ask you a different question. We'll come back to that one. So as you know, I am a teacher. Mm-hmm. For the past 4 years, I've been teaching science and social studies.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I taught science and computers.
Don't give us a quiz, though.
No.
Whatever you do.
You'll like this one. Next year, I'll be teaching science and computers again. So
okay.
I'll have to come up with a way to reword this question. But last year, I was flipping through my social studies book, and I found a picture of a guy who died in the 60s who looks exactly like my college roommate.
Okay.
So I called him and asked him if he was a time traveler. And
yeah.
I sent him a picture of it, and he was like, no, but damn. Because he looks exactly like him.
Wow.
So my question for you is, 10 years from now, when the students are flipping through their social studies books and they hit the part of history that we're in now with the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
they find Walker's K in those social studies books.
Mm.
How are you linked to the pandemic? Why are you in the book?
I would say because of the song, Why Oh Why, that the people who published the new book, when the world was asking, why oh why did this pandemic happen? And we know physically how it happened, you know, with the virus and germs, you know, we get that. But why did it happen? And for society, I would hope that whoever wrote that book would say, going back to, you know, 2020, there was this band called Walker's K, and they wrote a song called Why Oh Why. And to this day, we're still asking the question, why oh why did this pandemic hit? That's what I would see. Mike, I don't know what you would see.
You know what? I just don't have an answer for that one, but your answer sounds amazing.
Thank you. I'll give you the money later.
Can you tell me, and this is where I was headed when I said history, can you tell me the moment that you realized that you wanted to be a musician? Like what clicked?
Well, for me, it was young. Of course, you hear this a lot. That's a two-phase question for me, a two-part question. When I was a youngster, when the Beatlemania came and the Beatles came to the United States, were on the Ed Sullivan Show, I was in awe watching that. And I said, wow, that's pretty cool. And I knew I liked to sing, and I always kept that, you know, dream alive. But actually, when I was a firefighter, when MTV hit out of New York, you know, and that was back in 80 or 81. I said, that's it. I'm quitting this job. And I'm going to learn to play guitar. Yeah, basically. And so it's a two-part question for me. That's when I knew. I said, I want a piece of this.
There's a trivia question for you guys. First video showed on MTV was?
Video Killed the Music Store.
The Radio Store.
Radio Store, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
I think for me, the moment where it just all clicked is when I was in high school, I remember seeing a band, and this guy was playing distorted guitar, and he was banging a Les Paul, and it was loud and rude. And right at that moment there, I knew I wanted to play guitar, and that's when I started. And I just, you know, always wanted to do that ever since. So that kind of clicked for me.
See, now we're rolling into you guys answering questions and me thinking of new questions to roll along with.
That's a great interviewer. When I interview people for different shows, when I give them, I'm just telling you what I do. When I give them a question and they're answering me, obviously I'm listening to the answer. However, I'm already midway through their answer. I'm already thinking of the next follow-up. And that makes a great interviewer, Bill.
So thank you. And yeah,
for sure.
The question is, I know a lot of musicians are gearheads. Mm-hmm. What gear do you guys use?
Now, Mike's going to love you for this because he can talk to you for 14 months. Me, I'm an old-fashioned analog guy. Like, not all, but like 90%, 9 out of 10 major rock stars, major, they still use foot pedals, analog equipment, tube amps, no computers, no processors, nothing that can go software. So I use a Marshall head amplifier that's 40 years old. I use a chorus pedal that's 30 years old. One of my acoustic guitars that I use live and in the studio is only a $200 Yamaha. It's a cheapo. Although, you know, I do have obviously much more professional instruments. But I like things that are 9-volt battery, old pedals, no computers, no software. And when you listen to all these great bands back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, not all, but most, that's all they use. They don't use anything new digital. They don't believe in that. That's me. But that, having said that, now you go to Mr. Swain, the technical.
I'll try to keep it short. For me, I'm still like an analog guy. I like the old amplifiers, tubes, and stuff like that. But it can change from time to time. But my main amplifier I use now is called a Kemper, and it's kind of like a modeling amplifier. It's got a little built-in computer into it, and it can actually change. And I only do that because of the versatility, and because a lot of our songs we play, there's so many different tones and sounds and reverbs. The Kemper was the best choice, and it was probably the simplest and most versatile thing to use playing live and also our rehearsals. But I still like the sound of the old Mesa Boogies, the old Marshalls. They sound phenomenal. The old AC/DC sound, I think, is one of my most favorite types of sounds. But ultimately, all the sound comes, maybe about, say, 80% of it comes from your fingers and the way you play. Mm-hmm. That's very important. And I think Gary would agree with that, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you know what? Most gearheads, they can change from week to week. You know, they're always striving for that sound that they can't achieve. Eh? It's always like, okay, I'm going to try to get this. I'm going to try to get that. And then it develops into what your sound is, I guess.
So that's at least the second time that AC/DC has come up. So I'm going to introduce you guys to a band. They're called Rat Rod out of Philadelphia. And you're going to want to give them a listen. I'm going to play them on the show. So excellent. If you listen back, you'll be able to hear it.
Rat Rod?
Rat Rod.
Okay, I'll check it out.
2 weeks ago on the show, I had the band The Shadow Event on, and one of the questions that I've been asking recently came from their lead singer. While we were doing this very thing, I was interviewing a band, and she was watching, and she popped this question in. So after I'm done asking it, you can blame Christina and not me.
Sure.
So the question is, they decide that they're going to put Walker's K into a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
What cartoon series would you infiltrate? And which character from the series would play each of you?
Ha! You're a funny guy, Bill. Funny guy.
It's Christina.
That's not Christina, but yeah. Hi, Christina. Thank you for that. For me, I would probably say there's a lot, but I like anything Looney Tunes, anything with Bugs Bunny, Woody Woodpecker, yeah, that kind of thing. But you know what? I probably would say Flintstones. You know, the Flintstones, I would probably want to be, I don't know, maybe Fred. And the reason for that is, you know, Fred's always thinking he's going to do something or make money or improve this or get this. And then, you know, unfortunately, he fails a lot of times. But I'm always, my head is always spinning, always looking for the next thing, always trying to do something new, keep yourself fresh. You know, I'm on everybody that has to do with the band because I don't feel anybody works hard enough. And, you know, they get distracted or this or that. And you know, being in entertainment, the competition is fierce, way fierce. And if you don't stay up on this stuff every day, every night, every minute, you're going nowhere fast. So I'm a Fred Flintstone kind of guy. That's what I would think.
I think for me, what sticks in my mind is that Coyote guy. He's always tinkering with little devices and, you know, making stuff. And he's a gadget man. And that's kind of what I am. Eh? He's always trying to catch the Roadrunner. And I think that's what I'd be.
I think you and I might be similar.
Nice.
Here's a good question for you. Tim Doverspike, who is from the band Unbroken Soul, mm-hmm, just asked, he wants to know if you guys have ever played in Pennsylvania or will you be doing any shows here in the near future?
I personally have. Back in the day, my first band in the 80s, I toured around the U.S. And I did play Pennsylvania, a couple of cities, obviously Pittsburgh. I can't remember the venue. Thanks, Tim, for that, by the way. And I played Erie, Pennsylvania. And there was one other, I can't remember. All I remember is going rafting there. It was on the border of New York and Pennsylvania. As soon as you go south of the border in New York, Wellsboro. Do you ever hear of Wellsboro?
I have. I've never been there, but I've heard of it.
Somewhere around Wellsboro. So, yes. As far as plans right now, we're trying to plan to get out of our house. You know, there are no tours planned at the present time because of COVID, but we would love to, Tim. And maybe send us a demo. Maybe we could do a gig together, and I mean that for sure.
And I think for me, I've never played there, so I just my answer would be really short. I've basically just played in parts of Ontario, like a few cities here and there. But Gary's, I think he's played basically around the world a few times, I believe. You were saying, right, Gary?
Yes.
Yeah, you probably played almost every major city that we can think of.
Well, quite a few, but not every, you know. But yeah, you know, I've had a lot of great gigs in the 90s and things. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So last question for you, it's two questions, but paired together. Where can we find your band online and where can my listeners get a hold of your music?
That's great. That's a really good question. So we can do is you can go to our website and it's actually www.walkersk.com. And the K will be CAY.CA. So walkersk.ca and everything else that you want to get, Facebook page, MySpace, Twitter, it's all there on the website to get. And also the Facebook link will be there too.
That was really quick. So I'm going to give you guys a bonus question.
Sure. We get paid for the bonus question if we get it right.
Candy. Okay. That works in class.
Yeah, Twizzlers are always welcome. So.
Exactly.
What is your favorite music-based website to go to?
When you say that, are you saying to listen to music or to find out about the industry?
Either way. It's very open-ended.
I still like YouTube. I still go there and I listen to music, watch videos. For me, that's, you know, I'm old school. YouTube has been around for many years. And probably right now, as far as finding out about a lot of things about music, I go to Bandmix, which has a great selection of other musicians looking for bands or bands looking for musicians, but they also have links. A lot of people put links up there, you know, management opportunities, booking opportunities, you know, promo, this and that. So I kind of spend a little bit of time there always looking, but those would be my two links.
And I think for me, like Gary was saying, YouTube is a real big one for checking out new bands and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think another site I check out, it's called Gear Sluts, and it's actually a site for looking for, I know the name sounds a little funny, but it's actually a really good site for checking out technical stuff, new equipment that's coming out there. If you're looking for recording advice, and there's some pretty serious people that are actually on the site, they'll give you some good answers.
Okay. So those of you that were listening, and this has been episode number 520 in the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Wow.
With me are Gary and Michael from coming to you from Canada, which is abnormal for the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Yeah.
but there is a Pennsylvania link. Plus, it's my show and I'll do what I want. They are on the MTS management roll call. That's how I'll say it.
Sure.
And for those of you that are familiar with MTS, you've heard from quite a few of their artists on both of my shows. I think the very first one we ever did was Xander Deimos, who, are you familiar with Xander?
I am.
He's a phenomenal guitarist.
Absolutely.
So that's the link. It's Michael Stover. You can check him out at mtsmanagement.com, I believe. You'll have to Google it because I can't ever remember.
Yeah, that's close enough. You'll get him.
Yeah. So I do want to thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much.
You know, and I want to just say, just honestly, you know, thank you for, even though you're not physically in a school right now, because you're teaching from home, you're a frontline worker normally. And thank you for what you do to teach our children. I just hope that, you know, a lot of kids really appreciate the knowledge that teachers are trying to teach them, trying to get them to do the right thing in this world. So, you know, teachers don't get enough credit right now. And I want to thank you for doing that. It's a great career and a great profession.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So what's going to happen now is we're going to head on our way out. You're going to hear a couple more tracks probably from bands from Pennsylvania this time, maybe a little metal, a little rock. And then you will hear John Lane from the Hellfire Club take us away with the outro. That's another band. If you guys like metal at all, that's a band from Ohio, but he's originally from Pennsylvania. See how I do that?
Very nice. The promo is everything.
And you can check them out at hellfiremusic.com.
Excellent.
But okay. So for those of you that are tuned in and watching on Facebook, thanks for hanging out with us. Tim, thank you for your question. And I will send you Gary's information and you guys can trade music like you were talking about.
Absolutely.
We are out of here. Make sure you join us each and every Friday night on buildthescene.com or Friday morning if you want to just listen to the podcast itself. And we do have some upcoming shows that I want to make you aware of. Next week, the 26th of June, we have Hugh Twyman, who people call the godfather of music blogging in Pittsburgh. He and I started the same year. Just met each other virtually this year, which is weird. Followed by the band FUBAR on July 1st, The Whelming Waters on July 10th, Keith Hawkins, originally from Pennsylvania, now a professional drummer in New Orleans. He's in NOLA. And then we're going to talk with Deathlehem, which is a RPG nerd metal, if you talk to them. Mm-hmm. Very cool backstory. Everything is... They have created their own world, and every album is the story that goes on in that world. Then we're going to follow that up on July 31st with Modern Welfare. And then we're going to jump way ahead to September where we have Royal Honey. So if you're interested in being on the show, you can send me an email at bill@buildthescene.com or find us on Facebook and we'll get something set up for you.
Everybody wants to be the king. Everybody wants This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.